this. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Caleb, how about praying for us?
Lord, I thank you for this day, and we thank you for salvation. Father, we just ask that you please help Pastor as he stands and teaches in Hebrews. Father, please bless him, help him to be a help and a blessing to us. Father, I pray that you please help Pastor Matt and Christina.
Amen. 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 Well, it's good to be teaching. I want to share a personal testimony with you. You know that, spiritually speaking, Brother Jack Wood was my spiritual dad. And in 1995, Jack was having some health issues. He had hepatitis and he had some heart issues. And he turned Shady Acres over to Brother Danny Farley. And what he wanted is he wanted a smooth transition. Now, Brother Farley, the last 2 years, I believe, Shady Acres has given over $1 million to missions, and that was one of Brother Jack's dreams, to be able to give $1 million. And so Brother Jack, he went on the road as far as preaching and going to meetings and stuff, but it was really hard on him. And Farley saw that, and what Farley did is he told the preacher, he said, I want you to come off the road, except, you know, some meetings here and there. And he said, I want you to teach adult Sunday school. Amen. And so Brother Jack taught adult Sunday school until he got so sick that he couldn't. And then he went to be with the Lord the end of 1998. And so, you know, it's my heart's desire that Old Paths Baptist Church has Holy Ghost revival. Amen. And I really believe that we are in the will of God with Pastor Matt taking over. And I consider it a great honor to teach Sunday school at Old Paths. Now, what I want to do is, I've been studying the book of Hebrews, and I've gotten under great conviction because I started accumulating some books. I never had a commentary by Arthur Pink. I've heard a lot of good about Pink's commentaries. Pink is a Calvinist. We are not Calvinists. So I started reading Pink's book. Pink's book is that thick. That'll discourage some people right from the beginning, amen? Well, this is the very first paragraph in Pink's book on Hebrews, and I want to read it to you. Are y'all going to pay attention? I really, see, what I got under conviction about is the casual attitude so many saved people have towards the Word of God, towards church, and towards living for God. Those Puritans, I understand Calvinism is a wicked doctrine, but as far as holy living and separated living, they had something that we do not have today. As far as a close, personal, intimate, fervent relationship with Jesus Christ. I think it was John Owen. He's another Puritan writer. And Owen spent 16 years writing his book on Hebrews. It was 8 volumes. He was on his deathbed and they were publishing it. And on his deathbed, I forgot to write the quote down, but he said something about, that's well, but I am going to step into the presence of his glory and holiness in a few minutes, and that outweighs everything. Amen. We don't have that sense today. Now listen, we have a lot of distractions that they did not have. I mean, you know, I'll be at my desk studying and the phone, the text will go off or something. I didn't have to have that text. That's right. And who sent that text didn't really need to send that text. But it's a distraction. Yes. Yep. Our society's crazy.
Amen.
I was telling some of the guys, when I was in Savannah, I was in this gift shop and they had this piece of wood. It was like a tree branch or something. And they had molded a bowl of glass to fit right on it. I thought it was pretty sharp, but I didn't buy it. Well, I got thinking about it, and a day later, I bought it. And what I thought in my mind is I thought, I'm going to put a goldfish in there for my grandchildren. So Nan says, oh, that's nice. You could put a plant in there. I go, a plant, right? So I walk up to the counter, and there's this heavy young woman in her early 20s behind the counter. Very nice, says hi and everything. There's two ladies that are tourists, and they go, oh, we saw them. They were so nice. They go, what are you going to do with that? And I go, I think I'm going to put a goldfish in it, although my wife wants me to put a plant in it. That girl behind the counter has a stroke. She goes, you can't put a goldfish in there. Goldfish grow to a foot long. And the two ladies, they're looking at me, rolling their eyes, and I'm not saying anything to this girl. And you know, I can't hear too good, and I hear I need fives. That's what I thought. I thought she's telling. A black lady had come, and she was helping her wrap it up to give it to me. And she said to that older black lady something about fives. I'm thinking she needs $5 bills to make change. She told her, I need five to unstress because this guy is going to put a goldfish in a bowl. That's what this culture is raising. Can you believe it? So anyway, getting back. This is Pink's. Hey, for a 70-year-old man, this is wild stuff. Listen to me. I told the guys, if I want to buy a goldfish and flush it down the toilet, it's none of your business what I do. It's a fish. If I knew that woman was stressing about that at the time, I would have asked her, what's your stand on abortion? It's okay to murder babies, but God forbid put a goldfish in a bowl. Do you see where we're going, guys? That's the public school system for you. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So this is Pink. I'm trying to get to Pink's first paragraph. Caleb, did you have this much trouble in Sunday school? Before taking up the study of this important epistle, let writer and reader humbly bow before its divine inspirer and earnestly seek from him that preparation of heart which is needed to bring us into fellowship with that one whose person, offices, and glories are here so sublimely displayed. Let us personally and definitely seek the help of that blessed Spirit who has given to the saints of God for the purpose of guiding them into all truth and taking of the things of Christ to show unto them. In Luke 24 and verse 45, we learn that Christ opened the understanding of the disciples that they might understand the scriptures. That was those guys on the road to Emmaus. May he graciously do so with us, that the entrance of his words will give light, Psalm 119, verse 30, and in his light we shall see light. So, I take this very seriously. I think you should. And it's not just about filling your mind with knowledge. It's about applying something to your life, that you might live a holy life that glorifies and honors the Lord. So we're in the book of Hebrews. In our opening, it says the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Now, some of these Calvinists, they are quick to point out that the heading there is not inspired by the Holy Ghost. So they want to question who penned the epistle. Guys, that's not as important as knowing that the Holy Ghost inspired it.
Amen.
And it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And so one commentator said this. This is the first of the so-called Jewish Christian epistles. One writer's thought was it's probably the most difficult book in the New Testament to comprehend. He mentioned that there's a lot of stumbling blocks along with the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Acts, and the Epistle of James. And what this book must do is it must be studied in light of all Scripture. I want to take a moment, if you would. Go to 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Corinthians 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3, just back a few pages, and then 1 Corinthians 11. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, a familiar scripture says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I think it was last year in Bible Institute, we taught rightly dividing. Guys, it's not just a preacher's responsibility to study the Bible. Amen. It's God's people's responsibility. Amen. Study. What word do you accompany study with?
Work.
It's work. Amen. It's mental work.
Amen.
We cannot intelligently study God's work without a plan, without drawings, without specifications. We need to understand God's plan and God's purpose for the ages. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter 8. You know, God didn't create the earth and say, well, now let's see what's going to happen. He knows everything, guys.
Amen.
And he had a plan.
Amen.
Some people do not believe in the gap. They can believe whatever they want to believe. But God had a plan for the kingdom of heaven. And the devil, in his pride, rebelled against the Lord and went against God's plan.
Amen.
God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and God had a plan. Sin interfered with his plan. Are y'all with me? And so he has a plan for the ages. In Hebrews 8, look at verse number 5. "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount."
Amen.
I don't think I would be messing up the scriptures by talking about a blueprint or plans. Are y'all with me? God has a plan for the ages.
Amen.
Now, if you would, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. Talking about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In verse 19, it says in verse 19, "For there must also be" what? "Among you." So there's those among you that are going to have what? Heresies. I wouldn't brag about being a heretic.
Amen.
"That they which are" what? "Approved." That's what it says over there in Timothy. You study to show yourself approved. There is no excuse for being a heretic. There is no excuse for having your doctrine wrong. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
"Approved may be made manifest among you." So I'm using some commentators like Owen and Pink, but I am telling you up front, they are five-point Calvinists.
Amen.
Listen, I don't believe, you know, I was driving down the road, Nan and I were talking about this stuff. And so I said to her, I said, "Babe, do you believe every one of our doctrines and every one of our convictions is exactly right?" She didn't hesitate with a little laugh. She goes, "Of course not." But there's some people, they're not willing to allow the Bible to change them. Are y'all with me? Listen, I don't care who you are. You're not 100% right. You got areas of your life that need fixed up.
Amen.
You got doctrines that you cling to that aren't Bible doctrines. And so I think we should come not with a casual attitude.
Amen.
You know, you look at America. Guys, listen, this country has changed so much in my lifetime. I am telling you, back when I was raised up, nobody would go to church underdressed. Hey, can I use this illustration? You probably saw it in the news. You see that idiot that Pennsylvania elected to the United States Senate?
Yeah.
I said he's an idiot.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
He goes to the floor of the Senate in a hoodie and gym shorts. He disrespects the government of the United States of America. I am not a Biden fan. But Biden, he occupies the office of the President of the United States, and because of that, he's due respect. He flew into Philly yesterday, and that idiot met him in a hoodie and shorts. Well, we shake our heads. That's how people are coming to church.
Yes,
right. Yep. Pajama bottoms, mm-hmm. Tank tops. This is what the Catholics, I questioned my parents about sending me to Catholic private school when all my buddies were going to public school. I found out my parents had to pay tuition to go to that Catholic school. I found out that public school was free. So I said to my dad, now this is back in the 50s and the 60s, guys. I said, Dad, why are you spending all that money to send us to Catholic school when you could send us to the public school and it's free? He goes, Michael, number one, I want you to get a good education.
Amen.
Number two, I want somebody that's going to discipline you and correct you.
Amen.
Well, he did right with the Catholics because they did that. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
So at the Catholic schools, in grade school, I wore uniform. It was a maroon blazer, a white shirt, a maroon bow tie, gray slacks, brown belt, maroon socks, and brown shoes. If you came in with anything different and with your hair not combed, you were in trouble. Are y'all with me? And so this is what they said. The way you dress is an indication of your attitude to what you're going to do when you get there. So when you're a slob, I think you have a sloppy attitude. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Down there in Savannah, four times we got talking to people. And you know what their question was to me? Are you Mennonite? Are you Amish? And I told you all Wednesday night, that aggravated me. They didn't ask me, are you Independent Baptist? They didn't ask me, are you a born-again Christian? Asked me if I was a Mennonite or an Amish. So, Lori, the Mennonites and the Amish have a better testimony of modest dress than the Independent Baptists. I don't think that's right.
Amen.
I think you and I should stand out for the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, you don't get a sloppy dress habit by reading your Bible. No, it's from watching TV, playing on the internet, and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Brother Rudy Stembridge asked me to preach on marriage because of a missionary that's committed adultery and has been called off the field. So I've been praying about it. My first verse is going to be Exodus 22, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Amen.
My second verse is going to be, and the adulterer and the adulteress shall be stoned. What does that show you? That shows you what God thinks about adultery. What do Americans think about adultery? Nothing. It's like grabbing a cheesesteak down at the road. And what's that done? Because of the movies, because of the TV, because of the internet, it's filtered into church people. And church people are whoring around in church. They're divorcing in church, and they're remarrying in church, and they're staying in church and think everything is just groovy. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Now, there is mercy. There is forgiveness. Are y'all with me? But we have a sloppy attitude towards whoring around, shacking up, fornication, what the world calls premarital sex. Say amen.
Amen.
My Bible says it's good for a man not to touch. You know what touch means in the Greek? Same thing it means in the Hebrew. Touch.
Yeah, amen.
Keep your hands off anybody that's not your wife or your husband or your mom or your dad.
Amen.
And we'll let aunts and uncles in there too. Say amen.
Amen.
Guys, I don't want to be part of that crowd.
Amen.
And so you get reading those, Puritans, and buddy, they will help you. So I've had to do a lot of repenting. There's a lot of heresies that come out of this book because of perverted teachings, and they use the Bible. Baptismal regeneration. In other words, you get saved by being baptized. That's in the book of Acts. Salvation by works. Hebrews, James. Possibility of losing one's salvation is taught out of those books. Every heresy comes from what? The Bible. Not rightly dividing, not making the right application. Dan, in my years, what I have noticed about Calvinism in my generation is that super smart people tend to go towards Calvinism. These men that wrote these books, these men were super smart. Now, for once in my life, I'm thankful I'm not super smart. Because I have never had a problem thinking Calvinism was right. Never. I went to Bible school with a guy who was a Calvinist. He was a year ahead of me. We got to be friends. And we actually went visiting together on visitation day. And I looked at him. I said, aren't you a hypocrite? I said, here we are. We're out here trying to win people to the Lord. I said, and you believe people are elected to heaven or hell. He goes, whoa, Mike. He says, I don't mind gathering together the elect. They got an answer for everything, guys. So anyway, I believe the book of Hebrews was written before 70 A.D. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Look with me in chapter 10. I'm just trying to give you some background in Hebrews before we get started. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and start there in verse number 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Who's this book written to? It's written to Hebrews that have been saved. But what do the Hebrews have in their mind? Just all the Old Testament sacrifices and everything that takes place. Guys, this is a little bit hard for you and I to comprehend because we're 2,000 years down the road, okay? But these Hebrews, that is ingrained in them generation after generation. And now Christianity is completely new. You with me? And so then verse 12, but this man, talking about our Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. See, one sacrifice. The Jews, they knew they had to do what? Keep on offering sacrifices. Sat down on the right hand of God. If you look at chapter 12 and verse 4, I believe the Jews were persecuted by the Romans. And I believe that's evidence. Verse 4 says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So I believe Nero, the book that I've read, Nero, they said Nero came into power about 64 A.D. And then, of course, he destroyed the temple in 70. For your information, I want you all to go to the last chapter of Hebrews in the last verse. In the last verse of the last chapter of Hebrews says, grace be with you all, what? Amen. I looked at every epistle that was penned by the Apostle Paul, and every last verse of his epistle ends with grace. Now, how many of you in your Bible, underneath verse 25, you have a little note? What's it say, Bethy?
Written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy.
By Timothy. At the end of every epistle that the Apostle Paul penned, that note is in the Textus Receptus, which is the Greek text that we use to get the King James Bible. So another indication that it was the Apostle Paul. In chapter 10, in verse 34, the one who wrote this letter was in jail. You know anybody that spent time in jail when he wrote letters? In verse 34 says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoil." Guys, you've read your Bible enough of times. When you read Hebrews, doesn't it say Paul?
Amen.
And when you read Peter, doesn't it say Peter? Amen. And when you read John, doesn't it say? See, that is what is so great about our Bible.
Amen.
God took men, their personalities, but he inspired them. And that's what he does for you and I. We shouldn't ever want to be like somebody else.
Amen.
God made you and I an individual. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are characteristics in people's lives that we could want to emulate, if you understand what I'm saying. But not, I want to be like. No. You should be the man, you should be the woman that God wants you to be. And then look at Peter's testimony in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 15 with me. 2 Peter 3:15, "And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." That's the book of Hebrews. "Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So I personally do believe that the Apostle Paul was the writer, but that's not something to fall out with, okay? Okay, now understand that the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers. And what it is to instruct them that Judaism has been superseded by Christianity. This book is not written to the Jewish nation. It's written to Jewish believers. That's an important thing. Understand this. That whole book is for us. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. But that whole book was not written to me. There's three classifications of people that God wrote to. He wrote to the Jews, he wrote to the church, and he wrote to the lost Gentiles. Are y'all with me? And so not everything was written to us, but everything was written for us. Now, depending on who you're reading, they have different themes for the book of Hebrews. There's a lot covered in this book. I read one guy, he said the first 10 chapters is about the doctrine of Christ, because they're doing away with Judaism and now Christianity, and the theme of Christianity is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last three chapters is about the deportation of a Christian, how a Christian should live. I pastored for over 46 years. You know how many people got in my face and said, "I don't think you have any right to tell me how to live," after I preached? They're wrong.
Amen.
I have every right to preach the truth. Now, what you do is your business. I don't come as the FBI and search your house or set cameras up in your rooms and things. Are y'all with me? But God does. God knows what you're doing. To whom much is given, much is required. We are going to be required for much. But then there's others. Another theme is one guy put it this way, the superabounding excellence of Christianity over Judaism. And aren't you glad you weren't under the law?
Amen.
Number one, just the food laws would knock some of us out. And then all these offerings and all these holy days and all that kind of stuff, you know, reminds me of the Catholics.
Amen.
Yeah. So I think one of the key verses, look with me in chapter 6 and verse 1 of Hebrews. chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." How would you define "let us go on to perfection"? Somebody raise their hand and give me a thought. Go on unto perfection. Go ahead, Dawn. Marisa? It is sanctification. It's growing. I believe one of the reasons that God had Paul write this epistle was because the Jewish saved people, the Hebrew saved people, they were not growing spiritually. Well, I think there's a whole lot of saved people today that are not growing spiritually. So what were they doing? The problem was they were neglecting the Word of God and they were drifting from God's blessings. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. Do we not believe faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God?
Amen.
Okay, so when I got saved, and in my mind, I believed in God, I believed in heaven and hell, I believed in purgatory, I believed I had a soul that was going to spend someplace forever. I believed in the virgin birth. I believed in Jesus dying on the cross and rising the third day, although I always had trouble with Friday to Sunday morning being 3 days and three nights. But that night that Bob witnessed to me, the Holy Ghost gave me the faith from the Word of God to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's a spiritual, it's a supernatural transaction that takes place. Man cannot do it on his own. That's why you have so many professions of faith and then nothing, no life lived for Jesus Christ after that. Guys, I did not need a preacher to get in my face to tell me all that I was doing wrong. It just came bubbling up. And I'm telling you, I had a want to get out of that mess.
Amen.
So I don't understand somebody who says they get saved and they keep smoking dope, they keep drinking liquor, they keep fornicating, they keep whatever, and don't go to church.
Amen.
Now, I know that's not, we're teaching, we're not preaching this morning. But that's where we're at.
Amen.
I don't want to be there. I want to press forward. I'm 70 years old. I am asking God to help me to be the man that he wants me to be.
Amen,
amen, Dan? That's why Dan's still in church, because he knows he has not attained.
Yes, sir.
So in chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What the Jewish Christians were doing was they were trying to hang on to Judaism. Did you ever hear somebody say, you know, I got saved, but I could still go to the Catholic Church, and I sort of like the Catholic Church, so I'm going to stay in the Catholic Church.
Yep.
Guys, that thought never came to my mind. Now, I want to show you something. Go to Acts 21. Acts 21. Paul is trying, with the help of the Holy Ghost, to teach them they need to forsake this Judaism. In Acts chapter 21, look at verse 18 with me. "And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry." We don't see it, but the Jews thought the Gentiles were what? Dirty dogs. God's not dealing with the Jews. Now you got these guys, these apostles, these Jews that have been saved, and they're winning Gentiles to the Lord. This is messing up the Jews' mind thought. And so he goes on, verse 20, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. What do they want them to do? They want them to keep following Judaism. Yep. Now, listen, what was Paul going to do? He was going to do it. Yep. Look at me. He was wrong. Amen. And God interceded for him, so he did not do it. And this is something that Paul had rebuked Peter over in Galatians chapter 2. Do y'all remember that? Amen. Which shows us that all flesh is flesh. Nobody's perfect.
Amen.
And so in the book of Hebrews, John Owens, who lived in the 1600s, he called Hebrews the epistle of warnings. And I see five real distinct warnings or exhortations. Look at 2 Peter again, chapter 3. I want to ask you a question. In normal living, if you have a warning and you don't listen to that warning, what happens? There's consequences, right? And so in the epistle, there's five warnings, and if you don't heed the warning, there's the consequences that come. So I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So there's going to be some hard things that we're going to hear in the book of Hebrews, but we shouldn't rest them. We should listen to them very well. So the warnings are the danger. I believe the main warning is the danger of lapsing into a carnal state of spiritual immaturity because of attitudes towards the Word of God. See, if you don't have a serious attitude towards the Word of God when you come to it, you're going to think, take it or leave it. I can and I can't. I don't have to. That's not a good place to be. And if you don't heed the warning, there's chastening. And at the judgment seat, there's loss of rewards. I just can't imagine, guys, at my age, having the privilege to serve the Lord, to mess up now and lose whatever rewards there might be in store. But I'm telling you, there's men older than me who messed up. I was reading a biography on Bob Jones Sr., and him and two other preachers were out fishing one day. They were old men. They were in their 70s. And a friend of theirs had messed up. And one of the guys said to Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said, "Brother, what is going on here? How in the world could that guy do such and such?" And Bob Jones didn't miss a breath, and he said, "Brother, if you and I don't watch out very carefully, we could be gone in the morning." With that kind of a mindset, you are very circumspect about how you live and what you do and decisions that you make, knowing how they affect you. So go to chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. I'll give you a couple of these warnings. There's only 13 chapters in Hebrews, so, you know, I'm sure in a couple months I will be done. You're all laughing at me. I haven't even got to chapter verse 1 yet. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness with both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So the first warning is against drifting from the word of God. If you don't listen, verse 2 says there's going to be a just recompense. That's chastening. The second warning is about doubting the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 7. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it, but chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4 and verse 13 is doubting the word of God. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah. Guys, if that book says to do something and we don't do it, what are we doing? We're disobeying the word of God. Amen. Doubting. And if you don't, chapter 3, verses 15 through 19, there's chastening. In chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 20, there's the warning of a dullness to the word of God. Amen. A dullness. How many times, guys, people come in, sit, listen and preach, and go out, and nothing is stirred, nothing is moved, no heart movement. Are y'all with me? When I go to church, I want to meet with God. Amen. When I listen to somebody preach or teach, I need to get something from the Lord. Amen. It's vital. It's more important than eating that I get fed the word of God. Amen. And then in verse chapter 10, verses 26 through 39, there's a warning of despising the word. You've experienced people like that. They despise that book. You bring something up to them, buddy, they get righteously indignant. And then the fifth warning is disobeying the word of God. Chapter 12, verses 14 through 19. What these warnings and exhortations show is how a Christian's spiritual life can be ruined simply because of a lack of faithfulness to the word of God. Golly, I want to be faithful, don't you? I want to be faithful to my Lord. I want to be faithful to that book. If he shows me something in that book, Dan, I want to match up with that book. I don't want to be, there's only one thing, and I'll close with this. Dr. Green, a few years back, I say a few, I don't know how many, it might have been 15, a bunch of books came out about the mid-tribulation rapture. Okay, we don't believe in that. I was with Dr. Green one time, and he said, are you reading any of these books? I said, Doc, I have had many sent to me, but I've not read them cover to cover. I said, I'm premillennial. I'm pre-tribulation rapture. He goes, me too, Mike. He said, Mike, to be honest, if they were right, I still wouldn't change. He said, I've been preaching this for over 50 years. I'm going to keep on preaching it. Well, of course, you know and I know that that's right. Okay, I appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me, please, as we do Hebrews, that you get some help and that I have the hand of the Lord on me. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the great privilege to preach to these precious people. Lord, these are some of the finest people that I know. And I pray that you'd bless them. I pray you'd encourage them. And I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct them. Lord, I pray for Pastor Matt as he gets up to preach today that you touch him. Help us to make it easy for him to preach, Lord. And I pray a sweet savor would rise from old paths, that you would be blessed. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. God bless you.